Egypt has so many cultural and archaeological riches that its potential for tourism is huge. Yet, in recent years, it seems there's always something that happens that scares international visitors away. Still, for those who venture to Egypt, like I did not long ago, you can expect to find an amazing travel experience as you explore ancient and modern-day Egypt. For a look at what's new in Egyptian tourism this year, we're joined by tour operator Tarek Musa from Cairo. Tarek, welcome.
Thank you, Rick.
So nice to be with you. You know, most Americans know about the three great pyramids at Giza. We have an image of that. It's the iconic image for traveling to Egypt. I will never forget being with you and hiking to the center of the biggest pyramid, the Pyramid of Khufu. It was the tallest man-made structure anywhere in the world for over 4,000 years. And today we can go there and just marvel about, 10,000 laborers were hard at work on this for 20 years, dragging 2 million of these huge stones up those ramps. And today we could experience that as tourism. Isn't it exciting for you as a tour organizer to be able to help visiting Americans and people from around the world make a pilgrimage to these ancient sites?
It's amazing, Rick. I have been to the pyramids more than hundreds and hundreds of times. And believe me, each time I go and look at it, it's like the first time I look at it, how on earth they built it, how huge it is. It's totally different, as you have seen yourself, from whatever you see on TVs or programs. It's huge when you stand in front of it with great respect. And each time I go in there, especially when we do tours sometimes at dawn time from 5 to 7 a.m., and nobody in there, the spiritual side of it, you feel it.
You do. There is a spiritual side to it. And I don't even know what the spiritual side is. But when you're in the middle of that structure and you think of how much work went into it, and it essentially is the mausoleum, the tomb of the Pharaoh, the most powerful guy in Egypt from 2,500 years before Christ. Tarek, do you have any childhood memories of exploring the pyramids and climbing on them and so on?
Yes. When I was in grade 6 at school, they took us for a school excursion to the pyramids. And when I went in there, it became too emotional. Like, I just fell in love with the whole idea. And that was part of getting into the tourism industry. Like, since grade 6, I felt, this is amazing. And I saw these tourists in there from America, France, different languages. And I like language at that time. I will never forget this experience. It's like it's happening yesterday.
I didn't realize that's the beginning of your interest in tourism, because you are so passionate about showing off Egypt to visitors from far away. And as a child, you got that idea that this is something everybody should celebrate. Tarek, I imagine when you were a boy, and that was a few years ago, you could kind of crawl around the pyramids and it wasn't so formal. But now it's not allowed to climb on the pyramids, is it?
No, it's illegal now. It is definitely illegal. Even before then, it was illegal, but they were easy. The tourist police there were easy long time ago. But now it's totally prohibitive. But it's amazing experience. I've been almost at the top. I'm not inviting American tourists. Do not do that. It's
No, you can't
illegal,
do that.
But it's amazing experience. You look at Cairo, you see all Cairo as a, like, it's a huge city, but you see it from the top of the, near the top of the pyramids as a small place, and it's amazing experience, seriously.
Yeah. There's so much wonder there, and I remember how hard you worked with our TV crew to make sure we were there at the right time of day, you know, in the end of the day when the sun is low and the colors are warm, the camels are going home, and the police
yes,
are coming after
right.
us and telling us it's time to get out of here now.
When we stayed after 5 p.m., right? That's right. They're coming after us, and I have to calm them down. We're leaving, you know.
Well, thanks to your help, we made a beautiful hour of television for public television, and you can see it on Passport if you have Passport, the app on public television, if you want to see an hour of Egypt. But the big news, and what I wanted to talk to you about, Tarek, today, is the Grand Egyptian Museum. All of our lives, we've had the Museum of Antiquities in Cairo, which is just an amazing old school museum with all the great, you know, the King Tut treasures and so on. But when we were there a few years ago, you took us to the Grand Egyptian Museum in Giza out by the pyramids, and it was still under construction. But I think you could fit 10 of the Egyptian Museum of Antiquities into this new museum. I understand the country's spending $1 billion to build this thing. And what's
Over
the status
a billion
of the
dollars, yeah.
what's the status of that museum now?
Okay. All I can tell you, it's almost ready. It's 99% ready. It's just our president wants to make a huge celebration and opening of it. And it's almost ready and it's amazing. It's the largest single museum for only one civilization, the Egyptian civilization, the largest museum in the world for this. So it's going to be huge.
And what do people in Egypt think about this? Is this a waste of money to them, or is this a celebration of your culture and your heritage?
No, it's a huge celebration of our culture and heritage because it's showcase all artifacts in one single place,
right,
with views at the Grand Egyptian Museum of the Pyramids. And I believe strongly it's a money well spent. They actually making no mistakes in the way they're presenting things in a modern way, like the Louvre, the big museum around the world. They took experience from all of this, and it's going to be amazing the way they are doing it, really.
So up until now, the pyramids were one of the rare great ancient sites where there was not a museum on the site. You would see the big museum on Tahrir Square in Cairo, and then you would drive out to the edge of town and see the pyramids at Giza. And are they taking all of the artifacts and the treasures out of the old museum in the center of the city and moving them out to the pyramids?
The Tutankhamun old gold stuff, they're taking to the Grand Egyptian Museum. And the old Egyptian Museum is going to be there as it is with lots of artifacts in there. But the artifacts that have been in storage for many years are going in full display now in the new Grand Egyptian Museum. Over 29,000 pieces, they're going to be showcased to the whole world now. It's a great opportunity to show the Egyptian history. And it's going to be the two museums are going to be open. And actually, while people are spending now 2-3 hours at the current Egyptian museum, I think with the new one, there's no way they're going to cover it in a week. But we're going to pick that, show them the highlights.
Yeah. So when you do go to Cairo, now you'll go out to Giza and your visit will be two parts. It'll be an entire day, I would imagine. You'll do the Sphinx and you'll do the pyramids and you'll climb to the middle like we did. You'll wrestle with the camel men to see if you can take a ride without going broke. And then you will go to the big museum, this Grand Egyptian Museum. Tarek Musa operates a tour company in Cairo that specializes in tour packages to the Middle East and Morocco. He was the guide I relied on in Cairo and Alexandria when I filmed the Rick Steves Egypt TV special a few years ago. And by the way, that special is streaming now at ricksteves.com. Tarek's updating us on life in Egypt this year as a grand new museum is expected to open soon at Giza. It promises to become a focal point for displaying the artifacts of Egyptian civilization and culture under one climate-controlled roof. Tarek's tour company's website is egyptandbeyondtravel.com. So you've been my guide in Egypt for a long time, and I know you've been organizing tours of your beloved Egypt. Tourism really is important for Egypt, isn't it? Tell us the importance of tourism in your country.
Tourism, it's actually the most important revenue of foreign currency in Egypt. Before it used to be the Suez Canal, now it's tourism is number one. This is why the government are trying to make it easy to come to Egypt, build new roads. It's amazing that we have new roads in Egypt in the last 3-4 years. They're building new hotels in the downtown Cairo. So Egypt knows the importance of tourism, and almost 20 million people in Egypt out of 104 million benefit from tourism. So you would say about 20% of the Egyptian population make a living of tourism. So it is so important for the Egyptian economy.
Now, how is the economy in Egypt lately, and what's the political environment?
Okay, the economy, we have been in the last year struggling because of, you know, the worldwide situation. The inflation is really quite high. Life is getting expensive for so many people. But it's really hard these days with everything going up in cost, and the income hasn't increased much. Mm-hmm. But the government keep trying hard. The political situation, it's steady. Of course, there is always improvement to make it better. But at the moment, the economic situation isn't the best. But hopefully, in the next year or so, things get better. But part of it because of the current war between you know, Russia and Ukraine is affecting us because Egypt is the largest importer of wheat in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we are struggling at the moment because its prices have gone up.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the impact of the Ukrainian tragedy on just the cost of basic food, grain, you know, wheat in the developing world and places like Egypt, where you have 100 million people to feed. And review the challenges, Tarek, that Egypt has had over the last 10 or 20 years, because I think it's the only country I know where when there have been terrorists, they've actually targeted tourists because they know that's an Achilles heel for the Egyptian economy.
We struggled. Egypt struggled really with terrorism, but the Egypt police and military worked and things got a lot better. In 2011, we had a revolution, and that was worse. The after facts of this about on the Egyptian economy after the revolution stopped tourists coming for quite some time. Then we had Muslim Brotherhood who ruled Egypt from 2012 to 2013. It was black. Egypt was blacked out and it was terrible. You visited Egypt at that time and I told you maybe next time when you come, I might not be here, I might be here. Gladly when you came back, I was here in Egypt because the Muslim Brotherhood ruling was gone. And things start to get better after 2013, 14. And tourists are coming more, and people trusting and visiting Egypt, and it is much safer. And I can tell you now, Egypt at the moment is one of the safest countries in the world. Having said that, anything can happen, any terrorist attack can happen anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But Egyptian government is not taking a chance. There is a department in the police force called Tourist Police. You know, when you go to the hotel, there are checkpoints. There are checkpoints in downtown or around the cities. So the government are actually spending millions of dollars for the protection of the tourists and Egyptian people.
Well, I know that when we go to the great sites, when you go out to the tombs in Luxor, when you go out to the pyramids and so on, you'll see military police, it seems like, with machine guns protecting the visitors, just on guard. I also know when a tour bus goes out, the police actually know when a tour bus filled with foreigners is driving around, and they track that so that they can keep an eye on the foreigners from a safety point of view. Is that still the case?
It is still the case, especially American tourists are very lucky for tourist buses. So that's mainly for American tourists in there for their protection and at their hotels as well.
Tarek, is there still an element of angry fundamentalists who were defeated after the revolution was changed? Is that still a challenge for the government that they have to kind of finesse?
Look, Craig, this will always be a challenge for any government in Egypt because this Muslim Brotherhood and fanatics, they never give up.
Mm-hmm.
But the current government is making no mistakes for putting any one of these people who would be a threat to the Egyptian safety or society or tourists, they will go to jail. There will always be a threat from them because they never give up.
You know what I say just for Americans who are concerned about their safety is Egypt is one place I love to travel, but I would recommend spending the extra money to stay in an international class hotel, kind of one of those hotels where the diplomats would stay. It comes with great security. And then if you can afford it, hire a company that has a guide that has a car, and they come and get you at the hotel and they take you out. And then there you can melt into Cairo and you can do your adventuring, but you have that little refuge to go back to. Now, that's very expensive, but it's no more expensive than a normal travel expense if you're going to London. So I would say Egypt may be a cheap country in general, but if you want to be really safe, spend what you would spend on a normal trip in London in Egypt to stay in one of these international class hotels with a guide in a car. Does that make sense to you, Tarek?
You're absolutely right, Rick. It's worth every penny you spend in there because you will feel like it's the same standard at a hotel in USA.
This is Travel with Rick Steves, and we're joined by Tarek Moussa. He's on the line with us from Cairo. Tarek runs and owns a tour company called Egypt and Beyond. The website is EgyptandBeyondTravel.com. And Tarek lives in Cairo with his wife, Heba, and their three daughters. And with his help, we're getting up to date on tourism in Egypt. Another issue that's been in the news lately is Egypt is not very friendly to gay travelers, and women can often be harassed. What is your advice for gay travelers and women, and what's your take on that?
Okay, for women, it's completely safe for women to travel, and a woman can walk at 3 a.m. in the morning in the middle of the streets in Cairo, and she'll be absolutely safe with this. So that's not true for them. Like, there are some people would harass Egyptian women, but foreign women, tourists, they don't go to the local places in Cairo that I would not go to. They will be in downtown by the pyramids, and that's completely safe for them. For gay travelers in Egypt or Cairo, we get lots of, for our company, we get lots of gay travelers, and we do what they want in the hotel, questions, the requirements at hotel, but we keep low profile. We don't tell them don't go in public and offend people by, you know, like things like this. Even with a couple, like a husband and wife kiss in the middle of the street, people will just look at them. That's unusual for all cultures. Yeah. So if there is gay travelers, women travelers, they respect the local culture, they are welcome. And we get groups of actually gay and lesbian tours. We have guides work with them. It's all fine.
So the reality is, in Egyptian culture, by our standards, women and gay people are not given the same equality and respect in public that we would expect in our society. But being a gay or a woman traveler going to Egypt, if you just kind of recognize that in public you've got to have discretion, you're going to be okay, and you can be yourself at the hotel. But when you're on the street, women should dress modestly, and public displays of affection, even between heterosexual couples, it's just not part of the culture in Egypt. Tour operator Tarek Moussa is our guest on Travel with Rick Steves from his home in Cairo. He explains the role that private social clubs play in Egyptian society for recreation, connecting with one another, and even to help matchmakers find good prospects for their daughters and sons. Tarek tells us more in an extra to today's interview at ricksteves.com/radio. Hey, Tarek, it's so great to talk to you. We're out of time. I just want to thank you very much. And, you know, I've seen all the basic things in Egypt that the tourists would likely be seeing. When I come next time, what's a different attraction, a different experience that you would like me to have?
Definitely the Grand Egyptian Museum. That goes without say. Secondly, when you were here, the Ancient Egyptian Civilization Museum near Old Cairo, it's an amazing museum for the mummies. And it's amazing. You've got to see that.
Huh. What is the name of that?
The Ancient Civilization Museum.
The Ancient Civilization Museum. And if I was going to venture with you away from the Nile to see something else in Egypt, what would that be?
Siwa Oasis. That is in the middle of the desert. It's a bit away from Cairo. And it is so nice in there and so calming. It's an amazing experience. But it's a bit of drive out of Cairo, about 700 kilometers away from Cairo. In the middle of nowhere, Siwa Oasis, with lots of dates and palm trees.
400 miles and you come upon an oasis. Wow. Tarek, I'm so excited. I got to get back to Cairo. Thank you for joining us. I just hope and pray that Egypt has a good, stable environment so that you can continue to share the wonders of your culture and civilization with those who venture down to beautiful Egypt. Best wishes, Tarek. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton, Casimir Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Find out more about our guests, search our archives, and listen again whenever you like at ricksteves.com/radio. Join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.